Ruchem Abayim to the 15th Shia lecture in the series of lectures on the redaction of the Babylonian Talmud. In the last Shia, we spoke about the subject of the Yerushalmi and the Bavel's relationship to the Yerushalmi, and in particular, we focused on the riff of Haigoin and Beni Yenison. That part of the authority of the Babylonian Talmud was that, in fact, actually had seen the Yerushalmi Talmud, what that meant. We took the liberty to argue Kedakenu Bakodesh with the Deras HaRishonim. I don't really want to go into, like I mentioned at the end of last week's year, I don't really want to go into the Yerushalmi. That would actually take about 20 shiurim in and of itself. But I do want to actually speak about a certain perspective that we see that certain members of the Bavli had on the Yerushalmi. Now, of course, the Bavli does not mention explicitly the Yerushalmi, but like everything else, we will actually create an understanding of this based upon the relevant passages in the Babylonian Talmud. Now, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, Folio 24, Side A, the Gemara says, "My Bavel." What does Bavel mean? What is Bavel? It means there's obviously a place called Bavel, Babylonia, but the Gemara seems to be asking, "What is the significance that Babylonia is called Bavel?" Omer Rabbi Yechana says, "Rabbi Yechana, blula b'mikra, it's mixed with mikra, with scripture. Blula b'mishna, it's mixed." With Mishnah, Lula b'Talmud. It's mixed with Talmud. It's mixed. In other words, Bavel, right, refers to something which is mixed. Now, what do you mean mixed? So what do we mean by mixed? So clearly, we're speaking about the Babylonian Talmud, right? As it says in the pasuk from Eicha b'Vachashchem Hashiveni Kimsei Olam. Books about darkness. Amar Rab Yirmiyah, ze Talmud shel Bavel. In other words, the Talmud of Bavel, the Talmud of Talmud Bavli, is called by the Gemara darkness, and it's all mixed up. It's all mixed up. Now, why should it be all? What is the pasuk of darkness? Hoshivani. So Rashi explains. She'ein noichin ze im ze. When somehow the Talmid Chachamim and Bavel don't get along with each other, or they don't try to somehow resolve their issues, right? The Talmudim Safek Biyadim. Because of that, their Talmud, their learning, their erudition, right, is Mutal B'Safek, never clear, but rather cloudy. Now, what I want to do is I want to learn this in together with another Gemara in Bava Metzia. And that Bava Metzia will actually cast more light on what the Gemara is speaking to here. But we have a statement by two El Tisrael Dikamarayim, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yirmiya, who are making rather sharp comments upon the Babylonian Talmud. It's interesting they were incorporating Babylonian Talmud. This is actually a riot to the truth of Chazal, that they weren't afraid of placing statements in the Gemara which were detrimental to themselves. Now, the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, in Pei Aleph, Pei Hamad Aleph, that Rab Zeira, now you all know Rab Zeira very well. Rab Zeira was a very ardent, I would call him a Zionist, but he loved El Yisrael. Rab Zeira is the person who says in Bava Basra, Avil Nasrul Bachkim. I think there's actually a Gemara. I think the Gemara in Brachas speaks about Rab Zeira actually what Ben Ksuvis, Ishtamitzi, was afraid to show his face in front of Rabbi Yehuda because he wanted to go to El Yisrael. Rab Zeira's Aliyah is the subject of many passages of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rab Zeira, Kisalik La'arat Yisrael, when Rab Zeira came to El Yisrael, the Gemara tells us many places that, you know, Rab Zeira was waiting to go on Aliyah. Yosef Mea Tanisa. He sat 100 days in Tainis. Lishtakach Gemara Bavla Minei. So you should forget the Babylonian Talmud. Now, what does it mean? So first of all, what's Gemara Bavloi? So Rashi makes it very, very clear. Rashi says, Gemara Shalano, unsere Gemara, our Gemara. In other words, Mabzeira, when he came down to Israel, had to sit 100 days in fast to forget our Gemara. Delo Nitra Day, in other words, why do you have to forget the boundary? Delo Nitra Day, you shouldn't confuse him. We shouldn't bother him. We'll see a little while why you shouldn't bother him. Why you shouldn't bother him. So Rashi explains, Delo Nitra, he says, right, because all the El Israel will moi mi pi Rabbi Yechanan, v'morayim shebel Israel. So it's interesting, Rashi brings up Yechanan here. How do Rashi know Rabbi Yechanan? Because the other detrimental statement made about the Gemara is actually in Sanhedrin. That's Rabbi Yechanan. So he learned with Rabbi Yechanan, another Moriah. Right? Right? Because the right? In other words, they didn't like to argue endlessly. Right? Right? In other words, like it says in Sanhedrin Chav Dalet. In other words, they used to be able to resolve, they weren't B'nai Machloikas, they used to be able to come to resolutions. They used to be able to come to understanding things without all the types of the, I guess, a sharp, you know, debased refutations and rebuttals. In other words, that's what the Gemara paints us. Now, the fact is, we have over here, very interesting. First of all, Rabbi Yechanan, in many of the Rishonim, right, the Rambam in his Hadama, the Sefer Kabbalah of the Raivit, and I think even in the Sefer Klisos, right? In fact, actually mentioned Rabbi Yechanan as the redactor of the Talmud Bava. Now, I mentioned Talmud Yerushalmi. Now, I mentioned that this is actually Tamua B'Yisrael, because we at least have these three generations of Moriah mentioned in the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's a very, very big kasha. I will not go into that at this point. That will probably have to be for another series of Shulman on the Talmud Yerushalmi. But nonetheless, one thing is rather clear, that Rabbi Yechanan is very, very much associated with the Yerushalmi. I mean, just like Avinu Rav Ashi associated with the Talmud Bavli, Rabbi Yechanan is associated with the Talmud Yerushalmi. So we clearly see here that Rabbi Zeira, right, when he came to Israel, he had to forget the way he learned in Bavel, because when he wanted to learn in El Yisrael, right, that the Derech Halimo, the Bavel, should have sort of like upset him and get in the way, you know, towards learning the way the Bavel did not learn in El Yisrael. Okay, now, so my Bavel Amar Rabbi Yechanan. You know, Yechanan himself is actually offering a very sharp critique of the Derech Halimo of the yeshivas, the academies in Bavel, as opposed to that in El Yisrael. Now, the question is, right, what I want to really focus on over here is exactly why was this a different Derech Halimut? I mean, what does it emerge from? What is the source of the fact that somehow the Gemara is learning like this? In other words, the Gemara is offering this criticism of the way the Moraim and Bava would learn. Now, right. By the way, yeah.
Why is that necessarily a criticism? It's a different mahalach. I'm saying, what's the...
You won't call him tipshot.
He's
calling it darkness.
No, Reb Zeira is saying that he had timeless...
Okay, I'm going to bring another Gemara in Labadal Bebeis that he calls Hanli Bavli Tipshoi, stupid Babylonians. I'm sure I'll put the Chafetz Chaim Rebel Chanan, we could be Yashiv Lashem, but I'm saying is, let's call it a critique. Okay? Okay, so... In other words, what exactly is this this difference in limud? So Rashi has mentioned is that they were not noichazeb zeb bahalacha, which is very, very interesting, because actually the Meiri, which I quoted in the Hadamah to Pirkei Avos, also mentioned that during a tekufa, right when there was nevuah, they would have disagreements, but they were able somehow to come to resolve things. Which, by the way, is what the Rambam in the Yagdama, the Parashat Mishnayos, says about Hillel and Shammai. In other words, they had disagreements, but somehow they were able to, you know, to come to a, you know, to a meeting of the minds. Whereas afterwards, the Talmidim Shalosh Shimshu Kol Tzorka, right? In fact, actually, were not able to do so. But in any case, first of all, what I want to do is I want to actually just to that people should know that this is a real Gemara that it wasn't edited out. The Netziv actually quotes it. In his Hakdama to Emek today, you never know when someone is, you know, calls something a forgery or it's made up. But the Netziv actually, since the Gemara was in front of the Netziv The tzivin is Hagdama Temek Shela, which we've spoken about, as he once or twice before, right, where he says that there are two aspects of the Torah. This is what the Torah is called Eish Das. So the tzivin says there's one aspect of the Torah which has to do with Pilpul, that's Eish. There's another aspect of the Torah has to do with Das, which I guess would be Ruach HaKodesh, Mesorah, Nevuah, Chuli v'chuli, things which are not Eish. So the tzivin says that after the Churban, a bias rishon. So I'm calling from the hagdama to ha'emet davar. Chas v'shalom, right? The hamet shayla, right? I'm quoting from the hamet shayla. By the way, right? Hagdama temek shayla. Another time I had a thought of that. The hagdama shayla. He has a kidmas ha'emek, which we've spoken about previously, and there in the first hagdama there are three hagdamas. This is the first Hagdama, and it's Simon Tess in the Hagdama. So there, he says, Kishabol Abovel, after the Churban Bayis Rish, Shabol Abovel, he l'sachem bo yis l'izah b'azara shishon melech, shloi l'hoiretz kima pi chakir v'achro. In other words, basically, when they came to Bovel, they had to rely more upon Pilpul. V'lamoy al oimik adin b'halocha m'kubelet l'sheinu m'kubel, etc., etc. In other words, in El Yisrael, he says, in other words, in El Yisrael, there was chus of El Yisrael, that, you know, that they didn't need so much pilpul, right? Mashenkin babavel, right? I mean, the Netziv was actually, I think, the head of Chovev Etzion, right? But the fact is that I think even Rav Kook has something like this too. No, it's mashma, what does it mean, chus El Yisrael? It's not just mashma Beis Hamikdash, it's chus El Yisrael. I think Rav Kook, I mean, has a mikta, the negeres. The Gemara says, I think, Begimel in Sanhedrin, Dava, Gemara Zu Halacha, that's in the Bavli, by Zakan Mamre, and the Roshami says, this is Dava Zu Agarita. So the Cook says, in El Yisrael is Baruch HaKodesh, you have to, the Sanhedrin can paskin even in Agarita, in Hashkafa. Mashenkin in Bavel, when there's no Ruach HaKodesh, then, you know, everybody can have their own Hashkafa. In any case, so he says, when they came to Bavel, he says, Racha yidei avuk gedoyla shall pilpul deshas bavlim hayam or gam bechashchem lahitzi or oira. So here he mentions bechashchem, means that they needed more pilpul to light up the darkness. So, in other words, what the Tzim is basically saying is that, in fact, actually, in Bavel, which is interesting because, you know, the Rab Zeira is saying this. Rav Zeira is certainly after the is after Churban Bayis Sheni, but Rav Zeira says Avir Deres Shomachkim. So together in the tzip, we see that someone El Yisrael, this Chusid El Yisrael, that in other words, you don't need so much pilpul, etc., etc. And that's what the tzip is calling the Kabbalah here. Probably the tzip is a very important problem. Why do you have to forget it though? What do you have to forget it? In other words, okay, you have pilpul. Now everyone can call you, you don't have to forget it. It's not a stira. Anyway, right, I have an answer to it. Now, so I want to claim that really we have something here which is actually much more fundamental, which I want to speak about. Now, the fact is, and I want to quote from the Ravid has a work, I don't know how famous it is, it's called Lulav HaGozel. Right, it's not Shtiklach Torah on the right on Perak Lulav HaGozel, the first full blot with Lulav HaGozel, but actually it's a compendium of halachas on the Abba Midah. And the Ravid, I'm quoting from the beginning of the Ravid. He says, "Om Avram," this is the Ravid, "Om Avram, b'bnei shereisi b'ilchas lulav devorim stumim shelo yehushvu b'gemara kol tzoch." And I see halachas that have not been explicated enough in the Gemara. Kabarav Yitzchak Zal, that means the Rif, Pirish Oysa Milchaysav, right? Low Pirish Oysa Milchaysav, he hasn't explained it. V'yeis Tuvalim Sheposek Behem V'docha Kol HaSugya, certain things he paskins, and he throws away the Sugya. That sounds like the Rambam and Bikurim, the Kesef Mishnah, and the what do we have, the Barikok, and sometimes the Rambam ignores the Shakl V'talya, right? V'sosam Mishnah, V'loi Raya. He quotes the Mishnah, "Bla Raya." In other words, he just read Rishter. There's no, in other words, he seems he was doich docha kol asugi. He was doich the entire Babylonian Talmud. Va'aron berachem b'shamayim, says the Ravid, we bacham shamayim. This baretz leino devorim min ha'tosefta u'min Yerushalmi, from the Tzadik Yerushalmi, u'bitzasim in the Gemara, and some of them from the Gemara. The mashmos of the Ravid is very, very clear. That the way I understand that Ravid is that the Rif, right, in these cases where the Rif was seisim like the Mishnah, and for some reason the Rif was doiche the sugis habavli, so says the Ravid, right, that the understanding of halacha is usually more often gotten from the Tosef Lusham, he says, mitzasa min ha-gemara. What you would say, the pshat of the, I would say the understanding of the Mishnah, like the Ravid, is more, usually more gotten, straight pshat, right, from the Tosefta, which is of course the Perush HaMishnah, from Tanayim, and the Rushalmi. Now, the fact is, from this Ravid, and from other things, other Rishonim, I'm going to go into the Rashi, other Rishonim, it would seem to me that it appears to be that, remember, we've spoken about, right, that the Mishnah of Rebbe, right, the Gemara says, Lamagim would base on Bar Metzia, right, Ratz L'Gemara, in other words, right, Ratz L'Gemara, right, that Bebe Rebbe Mishnah in Bais Hazo, that actually the fundamental revolution of Rebbe was to replace exegesis of Psukim to exegesis of the Mishnayos. We spoke about it. Look at the second volume of Rishimo. There I have a long article about this. Even Professor Neusner, I think, agrees with me on that. But in any case, however, I want to claim that there could have been a different approach. There could have been a different approach between the Bavli and the Rishonim, what's called Perush HaMishnayos. Okay? Now, my Raya is from a Gemara in Psochem. Daf Lamed Dalem and Aleph. The Gemara in Psochem says, brings a Mishnah in Trumas, Hatevel Gidula Mutorim B'Dovish Azor Kala, Abadovish Azor Kala, Filip Gidula Masulim, Bachila. Okay, it's a Mishnah in Trumas. I'm going to go into the entire Sugya. Those of you who have the Marabakim, you could. So, basically, Rav Sheshet says, Maya Surasum the Kahanim. In other words, basically, Rav Sheshet learns that the Issa here is an Issa of Hesach Hadas for Kahanim. That's what Rav Sheshet learns. Now, Kisolik Ravin, Ravin also made Aliyah to El Yisrael. Kisolik Amon Daf Lamed Dalamed Beis. Kisolik Ravin, when Ravin came to, very interesting, that whenever it goes to El Yisrael, we're stocking now the Yabarei Bovel. Kisolik Ravin, Omer Shmeitz Kameh Rav Yirmiyah. He said, what Shmeis? It says, Rashi Rav Sheshes, right? Now this is the Rav Yirmiyah that we all know from many places, but especially from the Gemara in Chavdala ben Aleph. It's Rav Yirmiyah who says, Zuta Buna Shal Bavel. In other words, that's mixed up with Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. So,
Ravin came from Israel to
Bavel. Ravin came from Bavel. Kisolik. What?
I left.
I'm in Shabbat. It's in front of Yirmiyah. I don't know.
Slikas. The
Slikas. Yeah. You get it right. He came to Yirmiyah. For Abba. So he Abba the Shmeitzer. He said the Shmeitzer of Rav Sheshet in front of Yirmiyah. Rav Sheshet is Shpitz Bavloi. For Abba. So he said to him, Bavloi Tipshai, you stupid Babylonians. Tipshin. Mishum diyasvi ba'arad ha'chashucha. Just because you live in a land of darkness, amris and shmeis and b'chashchi, right? You say dark halachas. In other words, your halachas are dark. And alamaisa, why is b'chashchi? Why is b'chashchi? That's from the. So it turns out it's basically that's Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yevni, the sugiya, Ram b'chashchi moshivani. In other words, it's a reference to the pasuk, right? Just shows you the Malayim, remember what they said. So it says, Lo Shemi Alachu, didn't you hear? Ha Dom Rav Shimon Lakish B'Shein Rav Hoshaya, etc. Yes, Pshat in the Mishnah. And that was it. Which means, I want to claim the following thing, is that Really, what Rabbi Yirmiya was accusing the Babylonians, they didn't have pshat in the Mishnah, they didn't have simple pshat in the Mishnah. Because what they do is, they did a lot of pilpul, like Rashi says, they were like what the Tzim says, they relied a lot of pilpul, and they weren't looking for pshat in the Mishnah. Now, Derech Agav, based upon this, probably the most often quoted statement in Shas is what? Of Rabbi Yochanan? Of Rabbi Yochanan halacha kastam Mishnah. That's probably the most often quoted. Now we understand. What do you mean of Rabbi Yochanan halacha kastam Mishnah? Don't create b'mamtzi yashadu batalia. Right? But in other words, to explain the pshat of the Mishnah, the Iker is to understand what is the pshat shell of the Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yochanan saying halacha kastam Mishnah. Halacha is not like the shot, the pilpulim that you make. In other words, in order to write what halacha is, like the Ravid says, if you say something in the Mishnah, look for the pshat of the Stam Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yochanan.
But you should take it means like the Stam Mishnah means there's no name attached to the sheep.
No, but I want to say that it means more than that. Halachic Stam Mishnah means more than that. That's what I want to say. In view of this, that's Rabbi Yochanan says. Okay. In view of this, I mean, stop. Everybody agrees the halacha is like the Mishnah. The question is, halacha is Stam Mishnah means as opposed to you, you claim that if you're learning the pshat of the Mishnah, it's not with the pshat of the Mishnah. Anyway, in any case, what do we see? We see that, in fact, actually, there was a, I want to claim, there was a basic machloikas. And, of course, Rabbi Yochanan is already first generation Amorei El Tzisrael. I mean, Limber Rabin was a little boy. He's first generation Amorei El Tzisrael. There was actually a fundamental machloikas between Amorei El Tzisrael and Amorei Bavel. Right? In other words, Amorei Bavel, right, were, as explained before, they weren't necessarily interested in what's called Pshuta Shel Mikra, but the Mishnah was the basis upon which, right, they would arrive, right, at, in other words, at a Psak Halacha. It was the basis of that, but they weren't interested necessarily, just like, for example, Ein Mikra Yoytei B'nei Pshutai. Right, the drushes of Chazal, the Ramses and Sheresh Sheni, do not necessarily reflect the pshuto of the pasuk, but rather the input, the svara of Chazal into the pasuk. Right, this is the machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban in Sheresh Sheni. I refer you to my article in Rishimo, Volume 1. There I speak about this be'ion. The fact is that in El Yisrael, the derech, in fact, of the Amorei was more to understand what you would call to be more of the pshat of the Mishnah. And that's what the Ravid is saying, that when the Rif is Saisim, right, the Mishnah, without the Gemara, so the Ravid more often will look to the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi. Masha Enkein, the derech of Bavel, right, was not necessarily, right, to, in other words, not necessarily so much to look for the pshat of the Mishnah, but to arrive at, in fact, actually, you know, halakhic opinions based upon the Mishnah, certainly not contradicting the Mishnah, but what you would say more things which it's yaitse b'day pshuta. That's what you would say the sheet of the Bavel is. Now, the fact is that what we're speaking here is we're speaking about sheetas of Morayim and El Tzisrael and Bavel. Right? This is before at least the way we're understanding it, before the chasima of either the Bavli or the Rishalmi. In other words, I don't want to go into the issue of Rabbi Yochanan, etc. We'll leave that as a tzorach birur for another time. But what I'm saying is, in other words, if you look here at the, the Shita Ravid Rav Ashi, the way we explain the different sugyas through Rabbanan Sabarai, was to create a shachl of Atalia, right? And somehow anchor it in the Mishnah, but in fact the shachl of Atalia, in many cases, does not indicate necessarily what's called the Mishnah Kapshuta. Mashenken, it seems that this sheet of the redactors of the Babylonian Talmud from Ravid Rav Ashi through the Rabbanan Sabarai, as we've spoken about the last 14 shiurim, was actually, in other words, bases itself upon a sheet of a Amoraim in Bavel already, what? Already in Bavel, from the earliest Amoraim, right? From the time of Rabbi Yochanan, certainly, right? That they weren't so much interested in what was called the Mishnah Kapshuta. Masha'enke, the Talmud Yerushalmi, certainly in El Yisrael, the Messiah was different. The Messiah in Eretz Yisrael was more to look, in fact, more to actually look at Pshuta of the Mishnah. Now the fact is that if you look at the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, there's a marked differences between the redaction of both Talmudim. In other words, the incredibly delicate and expansive and elaborate dialectics of the Bavli are really not to be found anywhere in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is a very terse give and take. In other words, there is a little bit of a Shach Batalya, but all the elaborate swallows and the expansive ideas, right, and the Chesurim Muchs, I don't think Chesurim Muchs even appears in the Yerushalmi. I'm going to go on, I didn't even look this up, but I'm actually willing to risk it. I don't think Chesurim Muchs even appears in the Yerushalmi. What I'm saying is that this is certainly not to be found in the Yerushalmi at all. Meaning, in fact, actually, that the Yerushalmi was really more interested, in other words, in actually what it felt to be the Mishnah Kepshuta. Now, the fact is that we see that this, in fact, actually, right, this, you know, the difference in the redaction of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi is, in other words, is rooted in the different approaches that the Mohayim above them, the Eretz Yisrael, the way they looked at what was Rebbe's program was to replace, you know, scripture with in terms of exegesis. What type of exegesis? Was the purpose of Jesus to stay, you know, in tune with the Pshuta Shal Mishnah? Or was the type, was it like a Ramban exegesis? Or was it a Rambam exegesis? So, so therefore, in other words, certainly in Bavel, right, in the eyes of the Moriah, the exegesis was not really attuned to Pshuta Shal Mishnah, but rather was to create a dialectic based, as we spoke about, you know, in the previous Shulman, which would anchor itself in the Mishnah, but certainly would, you know, rise to levels where the Mishnah already is, interestingly enough, you know, not so, no, I mean, not being interpreted to Pshuta. Now, what's interesting is, I want to just, before I just go on a little further, what's interesting is that with this I want to learn Arayvin in the Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchos, this was a very, very interesting Arayvin that I see that a lot of people don't understand this Arayvin. I think even Rabban Shal Yisrael, B'Yishabes Oleveitchik also, I think, is miskashing with this Arayvin a little bit. Yes, he wants to learn a Pikabolah, but anyway, it says the Rambam brings a case of Hadash Nikta Moshe Kosh and Isha Rav Olav, etc.
Where is it?
In the Rambam, Ab Hilchos Lula Perachas Halacha Hei. So the Rambam says a halacha, and the Ravid says in Hasagis, the Ravid says, Kosav HaRavid, Kvar Hoifia Ruach HaKodesh B'Beis Midrashenu. There's already Ruach HaKodesh in the Beis Midrash. Mikamishanim, several years, there's Ruach HaKodesh. Ve'alinu shu posel, kestam pastisim. We decided it's posel, kestam Mishnah, etc., etc. Etc. Now, what it mean, Ruach HaKodesh, Hafimek Midrashenu? First of all, the Kabbalah Raivet is not this Raivet, it's another Raivet. That's number one. Number two, Lo B'Shamayim, you think if this was a frequent occurrence of the Raivet, Ruach HaKodesh is one thing. We don't see that the Raivet, right, relies upon Ruach HaKodesh, you know, as the Pasuk and Hishailas. I want to claim it has nothing to do with Kabbalah. And what does it mean, Ruach HaKodesh Yufiyah B'Batei Midrashenu? I want to claim that what the Rambam is saying is exactly what he says in this Hadamah to Lulav HaGazel. In other words, the Rambam understood that maybe the best way of understanding the Mishnah was B'derach HaYerushalmi, not B'derach HaBavli. In other words, the Stam Mishnah, as the Rambam says. Right, Pelel Shupasul Kestam Mastesen. What's Lashon of Ruach HaKodesh? It's a remez to take us out of Israel. It's a remez to take us out of Israel. In other words, an out of Israel, like the Netziv says, the Schus of the out of Israel, that's called Ruach HaKodesh. Even Rav Kook says this, Harayah says this in the Igels, which I quoted before. And that's what the Raivet means. What the Raivet means is a Kavai of Ruach HaKodesh. Now, L'chayra, why does that, in other words, what type of a Hasag is this on the Rambam? So it could possibly be because the Rambam Shitasa, we know that in fact answer the Rambam, in fact, many times, would rely upon the Yerushalmi. The Rambam says explicitly in his Hakdama, that in fact, actually, in other words, from the Bavli, from the Yerushalmi, from the Tosefta, comes the Halacha. There was the Rambam, in fact, those people who actually go even further, the Goyin, the famous Goyin, in Simei Reish Lamed Hei in Arachayim, says the Rambam is Neita towards the Yerushalmi. Did I ever speak about that going there? What time I spoke about it?
Hilchos Kriya Shema.
Hilchos Kriya Shema. Did I ever speak about the Lieberman's thing? I spoke about it one time, right?
Yeah.
I shlugged up the gut, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Okay. I spoke about one of these shuan?
Maybe the Rambam. I think,
Okay, fine. Anyway, I ain't in one of the internet shuan, actually. I spoke of that going, and I held it.
Three or four weeks ago.
What?
3 or 4 weeks
ago. Okay, very good. Anyway, if you look at one internet shuan, you'll see, actually, that I very, very respectfully, with great cover, Luli Mistafina, take issue with the pshat of the Goyin and the Rambam. Okay. But in any case, Lamaisa, if the Goyin says it, certainly, right, in other words, certainly the Goyin understood the Rambam is b'chashev with the Roshalmi. And in fact, actually, so that's what the Raifin actually, in other words, you know, the Raifin is actually speaking to the Rambam. The Rambam would understand that, you know, that, in fact, the Marikorkas says the Rambam with many times, we saw a case of Lamed Hayin Sukkah where the Marikorkas claims the Rambam was Samechane Tesefta. And what we explained to them was the entire Shabbat Tav the Gemara was coming lafukri from the Pshat and the Tosefta and trying to anchor the Moroyim in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah connected to the Tosefta. So in other words, clearly the Raivin knew who he was speaking to. In other words, the Raivin understood these informing the Skalim al-Aramba. It wasn't an incommercial conversation between a Baal Kabbalah and a Baal Nigla. So in other words, but in any case, there's no question about it that the Pshat here of Kvah Hivruach HaKodesh has nothing to do with Lo Bashamayim, with Bashamayim, right? The Raivin is not going to, I don't see anywhere the Raivin invokes Kabbalah in the understanding Halacha. What the Raivin is saying is that to say Halacha is Tam Mishnah and somehow Lafuki from the Derech of the Bavli, right? In fact, actually is basically a consequence of Teiras El Yisrael, like Abzeira had to forget the Talmud Bavli because Avil Del Shua Machkim and the Talmud Bavli was Matrid him, like the Gemara says, and that's really the intention here of the Raivet. Okay, now the interesting thing is that, however, what's interesting is that if we look actually in, you know, what the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says the Talmud Bavli. What's going on here? It's buried underneath here. I'm sorry. Whoops. By the way, Derech Agav, it's good thing those papers actually fell out from under here. I just want to say, Rabbi Herzog, I got your ha'ala on the Rashi. You mentioned six other Rashis in Shas. I've only looked at three of them, but actually the first Rashi is actually the Rashbam. But in any case, the my reading of the Sheet and Rashi requires a little more bila. I defer to another time where actually maybe we can speak about it personally, or I can actually come back with a big rebuttal to you at another time. Whatever it is, in other words, I you're making good ha'ala. I think I have to rework my reading of the Sheet of Kubetzes. For sure what I'm saying is true. The question is how to put it into the words. Ben Milch will speak about what you're saying a little bit later. Okay, fine. Now that's the Lashon of the Chaim V'Lashonah. I think in the tshuva that he says that even though it's not mashma the Rambam, that's for sure the Rambam meant. Anyway, now what I want to say is that we have an interesting like this. The Gemara in Bava Metzia in Daf Lama Gimel says Gemara elecha bida gazel mizu. Gemara says Lama Gimel Aleph, and Rashi and the Gemara says Biberi Rebbe Nishta Mishpazu, and Rashi says it's going on Gemara. We've spoken about this before. In other words, now, what's interesting is that Rabbi Yochanan says here that, right, my bab, belula b'meka, belula b'mishna, belula b'talmud. And Rabbi Yochanan says, zet tamur shabavah. It's belula, with mishna, mishna, and gemara. Rabbi Yochanan calls the bab loyim tipshayim. So obviously, the gemara had certainly not, I mean, a different angle on the Babylonian Talmud. Now, what's interesting is what I want to say is that in the Yerushalmi, I think it's Shabbos, Perek Dezayin, it's in Kol Kisvei, Perek Dezayin. There, the Rishalmi says that Rebbe was Shekeya, sang the Mishnah in the Gemara. That's Rishalmi speaking. Now,
sing the Mishnah.
Sang the Mishnah is into the Gemara. He sang the Mishnah is in the Gemara. Before, right, the Gemara Rishalmi says like that. I'm a Rishalmi in front of me. I'm a Rishalmi al peh, but that's what he says in the Rishalmi. But what I want to say is like this. Interesting is, L'chayra, according to what we're saying, in other words, what is the difference between B'lula B'mikra, B'lula Mishnah, B'lula B'talmud, and sinking the Mishnah into the Gemara? In other words, I don't see where the Rishalmi make, in other words, I don't see where the Rishalmi makes you know what, you would expect that the Rishalmi's understanding of Gemara would be different than their understanding, at least the El Yisrael Dikas Amarayim's understanding of the Talmud Bavli. In other words, I mean, the Rishalmi is speaking about its Gemara, right? The Rebbe sang the Stam Yerushalmi. The Rebbe sang the Mishnayos.
There was another Gemara.
What?
There was another Gemara.
No, but when they're speaking, the Rishalmi, the Chayim is speaking El Yisrael. Rishalmi is speaking out to Israel. Oh my God, whatever, they're speaking out to Israel. In other words, I would say pashtus, the Rishalmi is speaking about the Rishalmi. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says about the Bavli is Bulba Mishnah Mikra Mikamon, which you can't recognize the Mishnahs anymore, and it's all mixed up. But the Rishalmi is not making itself. It's not making any more of a complimentary statement on the relationship of its own Gemara to the Mishnah. That's a little Shmer. In other words, L'chayra, the Rishalmi there is speaking about itself. So why is sinking the Mishnah into the Gemara a more complimentary statement referring to the approach which looks to the Mishnah Kepshuta, the Rabbi Yechidah statement, is that, right, it's B'lula B'mikra, B'lula Mishnah, B'lula B'talmud. I mean, it seems to me that the statement is being made the same thing. It's the same type of statement. In other words, I would expect that, you know, maybe if it's clear water, it's... But I'm saying it's to sink the Mishnah in the Gemara means you can't find the Mishnah anymore. So where in fact actually is the difference between the Rishalmi statement, which I would imagine is referring to itself, and between Rabbi Yechida's statement and the Talmud Bavli, which we see is coming, as I'm saying, or as Rashi even says, in contradistinction to the, you know, the limud of the mesiptas of the yeshivas in El Yisrael. So, in other words, what I would say maybe, the pshat is, what do you mean by blula b'mikra, blula b'mishnah, blula b'talmud? Interesting, blula b'talmud. In other words, so, I would say, it's interesting, what way blula b'talmud? He says, Zu Talmud Shabava. Because Mashma, you have Mikra, you have Mishnah, you have Talmud. As the Bible says in Brochus Hemarav, Kosh Bohu, Shamash Rabbeinu, Mishnah, Mikra, the Talmud, Lohi Loisa, that's Talmud. And it's all mixed up. What does it mean? So, it could possibly be, with the Mashmos, in other words, Talmud Shabavel is mixed up together with what? With Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So what does it mean? It means that the Talmud of Bavel is like a bigger Talmud. In other words...
Isn't it Pashto
Zayin? Wait. Let me just finish. If I violate the law of the Slew Middle, let me look. The Yerushalmi is just Talmud. Explaining Mishnayos. Talmud means explaining Mishnayos. Look, the purpose of Talmud, like Rashi says, I mean, in the Bavli, but he says in Haman Aleph, Yonav Aleph Beis, the purpose of Talmud is explaining Mishnayos. Maybe asking stilos between Mishnayos. In other words, Talmud is meant to explain Mishnayos. That's what Talmud is. So in other words, in the Rishalmi, it just mentions Talmud. Rebbe sank the Mishnah into the Talmud, and, I mean, the Kabbalah says... In other words, Rebbe sent the Mishnah, however what. The Talmud of Bavli is mixed up together with three components, meaning that what? There's Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud means there's like Talmud number one and Talmud number two. In other words, there's a Talmud which explains Mishnayos, and then there's an overarching Talmud which actually uses Talmud but arrives at all different types of dialectics which in fact actually go beyond the simple meaning of Talmud. Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll show you about it. So in other words, I knew what you wanted to say. So in other words, what I want to say, in other words, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, and I want to claim it could possibly be, in other words, the Talmud Yerushalmi L'chayla is edited like more or less around, like right a little bit before the time of Avashi. That's the Moray. The, what we call the Super Talmud, that we've been speaking about of the last 14 Shiurim, of Rav Ashi and the Saparayim, like Rav Shira Goyen says, it's Tayyim in the time of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, right? That's a Super Talmud. That's already this construction of dialectics. It's not aiming necessarily at the Mishnah computer. The Simple Talmud, the Simple Talmud is just trying to understand Mishnayos and not the Bavli and Nushami have in common. In other words, so what I say is that the Ushami just says he sank the Mishnayos and the Talmud means that the Mishnayos are now subject to the Perush of Talmud, and Talmud looks to understand the Mishnayos in terms of what he feels is the meaning of the Mishnah, the Pshutish HaMishnah. But what the Babylonians are doing is they're taking Talmud and they're mixing them together. They're taking Talmud, there's a second stage of Talmud. In other words, they're taking Talmud. They're treating Talmud as already, in other words, Talmud now became Eves HaChavtza, and the big Mefalpa with Talmud and Mishnah and Mikra, which means you don't know where the Talmud begins and where the Talmud ends. In other words, because there's a Talmud on the Talmud. So in other words, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that, in other words, the Bavli is not simple Talmud. Talmud is mixed into it. And I would say that probably accounts for the distinction of statements between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. Now, what do we see from this, though, the interesting thing, right, is that it's interesting, another interesting aside that the Yerushalmi is, the Yerushalmi itself, like we said before, was edited, and was edited earlier than the Bavli. That's clear. The Bavli is later. The Bavli is Basroi. I mean, that's clear from the Rif, from the Yenison, that in fact, actually, the Bavli saw the Yerushalmi. Of course, we argued in the Zeresh Rishayin and didn't see the redaction of the Yerushalmi, but it's clear the redaction of the Talmud Yerushalmi was certainly earlier. Because the Rambam was 100 years before the Bavli. Not only that, but actually, if you look actually in the Yerushalmi Nezikin, you will see that even the Yerushalmi Nezikin is even sparser than the Yerushalmi in Mayed and Zerayim and in Nashim. And in a famous article which he wrote, right, Shaul Lieberman, in an article called Talmud Shel Kesarin, wants to claim that the fact actually the Talmud Yerushalmi was edited not in Tevelya, was edited in Kesari a number of years before that, which means that the Talmud, the Yerushalmi, the Zikin, is actually, you know, is clearly a sort of like an earlier edition, an earlier redaction of the Yerushalmi, which leads me, and I want to put myself out on a limb here, it leads me to suspect that, remember we mentioned the fact that from Rashi it was clear that that the Shach Bataya of the Yerushalmi as we have in front of us begins with Ravina Rav Ashi. That's what I learned from Rashi. I mentioned in the Lashon of Shira Goyin, he says, Itoisiv Dara Basadara, from which some scholars, Professor Zussman, was learning at the university, that it means that it was edited in stages. Lamaisa, I was Cholikaman. Now, that's not the Pshat of Shira Goyin. For sure not. However, the fact is, I suspect that the editing of the Yerushalmi was more in stages. In other words, whereas the Talmud Bavli from Rashi, it's clear that the editing is really, in fact, you know, it begins with Rav Ashi, right? The Talmud Yerushalmi could possibly be was edited more in stages, and one stage built upon another stage, right? Which would make sense, because, in other words, if I'm interested more, in other words, the way the Deyas HaRishonim learns in the Bavli, because it's arguing all the Rishonim like that, is basically, you could learn like that in the Yerushalmi. Now, it's called the Rishonim, the Shabbatai is in the Bavli. Over, and Rav Ashi comes to be Meisa. Of course, the Rishonim Kedavkai, because he's arguing on all the Rishonim, except maybe for this Rosh Hashanah. But the fact is that the Yerushalmi, maybe you could say it like that. The Yerushalmi was added stage by stage, which makes sense of what we're saying. In other words, the Shach of Italia, the Yerushalmi, was looking at Pshuta Shel. In other words, once the earlier Morayim got the basic shot of the Mishnah, so other Morayim would just add other things. Moshe Enkein, in other words, the construction of dialectics, which we've been speaking about from Rav Asha Savarai, right? So, in other words, who really cares what the earlier Morayim had to say about the Mishnah? The problem is, how would Pasuk Halacha, and from Rav Ashi onwards? And that was called Sefer Law. So, in any case, what I want to say is that the actual, of course, this requires a tremendous amount of analysis, in-depth, sugya by sugya, which we don't have time for in just 20 shiurim, and actually we're only speaking about the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi, we haven't gone to the Bavli either. What I'm saying is that it might be interesting to see that the Yerushalmi actually might exhibit much more of this hierarchy. You can see it proceeding by generations. This is, I'm making a hypothesis. I'm sure you'll bring 10 guys against me, but as opposed to the Bavli, where the Shach HaBataya seems really to, in fact, actually be much more, mixed as such. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. Now, however, what it does show, which is, I think, is the important thing, is that the Chashivas in the Bavli from Rav Ashi to the Sabarai, in other words, if the Yerushalmi was finished right up to the time of Rav Ashi, which is clear from the Morayim. So what accounts for the incredible distinction between the Babylonian, the Bavli that we have, the Yerushalmi? So it must be, it was the efforts of Rabbeinu Rav Ashi to Rav Yosef, within 100 years of the Sabarayim, who created the Shach of Italia. In other words, that's what the Yerushalmi was missing. And that accounts for the distinction between, the analysis you do in the Bavli cannot be like the Yerushalmi. And now, I haven't gone into a lot of detail, but the Ma'aseh, it's rather clear that the Yerushalmi makes much use of Tosefta than does the Bavli. I don't want to go into this, for example, there are Pachim in Sechas Nida in Yerushalmi that basically is just pure Tosefta. And actually one could see very easily that the Tosefta, of course there's always, what I'm saying is true like maybe 51% of the time. In other words, certainly Tosefta Yerushalmi also doesn't call Tosefta exactly where they appear. But in other words, there's no question about it, is that the Yerushalmi makes a very, very stronger use of the Tosefta that we have, and our Tosefta, than that of the Bavli. And I think that's really that has to do with this, this Ashita. Okay, now, I mentioned before that Rabbi Herzog, you gave me several Rashis, and I want to speak about them yourself at another time. I want to go back to that Gemara in Tamura. And when Rashi says Ali Khan, I see the Rashi that you're saying to me, but I have to formulate my thoughts a little bit clearer. Ben Milch has four questions, which are really two questions. The first three are really the same question. Basically, the Tosfos is the Tosfos of the final editors of the Bavli. In other words, the fact that the Bavli many times will not be serving on certain Mishnahs and Taylors just means that the unfolding of Torah Shabbat Peh, especially when it comes from an oral to written tradition, which we've spoken about previously, continues after the Gemara. And the Tosfos, in a certain sense, are also editors of the Gemara. So if you believe that Torah unfolds anew in every generation, then I don't think that this, I don't think that this, in fact, actually impedes on any, breaking the Mesiva, etc., etc. Okay.
What was the question? What's the answer?
The question was, there's three questions. Why is the Klai Yisrael must follow Minhagim when instituted were Keneged Mishnayos Brayos? No, this is true both when Halachas Achumra Taisa Mishpachin Kula Mayan Mayim Sheuvim in a Mikvah Ma'aseh Machlos Rishayim with Mayim Sheuvim the Rishayim Rabban. I don't go with the three sheetas, but whatever it is, the answer is that that was the Klai of the Bavli. But many times the Rishayim will reject this. The Rambam, for example, we saw the Rishayim.
But how?
They'll say that this is not the Pshat in the Mishnah. They'll say here, for example, the Mikvahs. In other words, the Rishonim are coming to, to, in other words, once the Rishonim, once it's a textual a textual dimension, and the Rishonim had the Mishnayos, and possibly the Mishnayos. So we see that, for example, what the Gemara said in Tavua Daf Yud Beis, you see that many Rishonim are coming out against it. The Rambam himself mentions that Shita and rejects it.
Why is Minhag more powerful than the text that we have?
No, the Minhag was more powerful in the Gemara because in an oral tradition, Minhag is more chashuv. In other words, that's the difference between oral and textual tradition. In other words, in an oral tradition, Minhag is more important. Right? Im ein nevi'im b'nei nevi'im. The Gemara says in Samach Vav, in other words, it's interesting that in Samach Vav Ma'av and Psachim, when Hillel is asked to come to, to derive that Yishek the Kol Pesach, when Shabbos falls at Erev Pesach, so you don't know the Tosefta of Sanhedrin that says that Hillel brought 7 meters with him to Bavel. But then, on the other thing, he says, "Amei neviim, b'nei neviim." In other words, where there's a limit from Mishnah, one thing. But in other words, in an oral tradition, minig is certainly much more important. In einam neviim, b'nei neviim. In other words, minig is called b'nei neviim. In other words, when there's a text, then we say lo b'sham. Then the text is lo b'shamayim. Now, the fact is,
we don't find that the minig idea went out of fashion after the Gemara was printed.
No, but I think that minig is much more important. That's what I would say. I would claim that in an oral tradition, minig is more important.
It's lost in the main of the Nevi'im, but anything, and we find the Mishnah also.
Yeah, but they're quoting the Gemara.
Separate halachic discussion. They say main of the Nevi'im, but the halach. The minig is such.
But what is a minig? Usually a minig means, it says here, this, and the minig is something different. Usually minig usually comes right from
the Rishonim is that Alpida Gemara, the regular halachic process that we should come arrive at.
Right. Upon the halachic process written down.
According to the way we usually arrive at halacha, we should arrive at a conclusion.
Right. When
the minig is like this, we can't ignore that.
Which means that what? In other words, if I look at the text, right, the halacha should be like this. But if I look at the Amaratzim or the Klal Yisrael, that everybody's learning from the text, then that's minig. In other words, minig, what I understand, is usually something that's not derived from text, because otherwise it comes from the text. Yeah. The lashon einam neviim b'nei neviim means it's not coming from a text, but it's coming from something which is not textual.
The question is, once we have a text, why is minig valuable?
Because minig comes up. Because what happens is that minhagim develop for different reasons, but usually they're counterpunctual to the text. I'm just saying this, that minig, that there was when it was only an oral text, minig was much more pronounced. I would say that after the Chesimus HaShas, even the minig is something, right? Minig is less important. In other words, minig, after the Chesimus is written down, minig becomes less powerful than it was before the Shas was redacted. That's what I want to claim. In other words, minig is much more oral, and even though there is minig, but in fact, actually, the more texts become written down, the less powerful is minig. That's what I would say. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah did away with a lot of minhagim. How does the Mishnah do with the minhagim? He says, well, it's a very nice minig, but all the Rishonim can make a joke. That's what I would say.
Well, he also institutes minhagim.
What?
He also institutes minhagim.
The Mishnah Berurah institutes very few minhagim. The Mishnah Berurah is, when the Mishnah Berurah argues on minhag, is because he can bear text that testify against the minhag.
Very often he'll say, though, that the halacha seems to be this way, but the minhag is to be machmir, so machmir.
That's right, but that's oral too. Yeah. That's oral too. In any case, that's what I would say. I would say minig, in essence, is oral, is anti-textual. So, in other words, as the change from oral to textual will reflect a dramatic change in the power of minig. That's what I would say. It's interesting. The Gemara says in Mem Dalet, is a machlek is by a rava. It's a takaz davim or minig davim.
Mem Dalet where?
In Mem Dalet Aleph in Sukkot. Tekanis Neviim or Minig Neviim. Not for me to make a bracha. But I'm saying is Minig Neviim. In any case, Nevuah, of course, is not textual. Okay, now, The second question is, Elokos Ani Mesam Hagim. I said, okay, fine. The two quick questions are more the same. But I want to finally count question number four, which is a good way to end the Shia. I recently heard a Shia that Rav Chibas gave that going to a Shia is not Limud HaTorah, but only learning inside would count as being Mekayim the Mitzvah. Will this be true of these Shiorim? On the one hand, I'm not there nor following inside, though sometimes I do. On the other hand, I chaz the Shia many times and ask questions. Again, Schaf HaTamah Torah. So Ben, actually, I don't know what Shia you heard. You know, I never know what I say anywhere, but I wanted to say pun fakir. I wanted to say that there's like an avodah zarah, especially among many, among, you know, a lot of people, that, you know, I have to learn how to learn, and that's ridiculous. I wanted to say that if you go to a shir and you hear an idea and tell you, that's called limud Torah. I mean, who says that I have to do it myself? In other words, who says that? In other words, if I can't come up with the Reb Chaim pshat to the Rambam, that I don't know how to learn the Rambam. I mean, Reb Chaim might have had a better head than you. I'm just saying is that I don't see why so many people, it's so important for them to learn how to learn Gemara. It could possibly be that you'll never learn how to learn Gemara properly. But who says that I don't get schach for the Talmud Torah by going to a shir and understanding the concept of the shir, and that's called Talmud Torah. That's what I want to say. I want to say is that you don't have to waste all these years, you know, going to yeshiva and learning how to learn. Right? You can just go to a shir and hear a shir. So I would say, Ben, I don't know where you heard the shir from me. Maybe there's, you know, right? But on the other hand, I said, if you hear a deep idea in the shir, that's called Talmud Torah. It might take you hundreds of years to rediscover the wheel. But why should you do that? Go hear the shir, and if you chaz over the shir, now even if you want to say that what I'm saying here is not Talmud Torah, but I'm reading Gemaras. So if you read, it's like the Yaibit says that you shouldn't read. Right, the Yaibit says you shouldn't read in the Shevutim because it's psukim, it's diktuk. So you didn't want to say that my shurim is not, it's paperas achachim, it's not Torah, but I'm certainly bringing Gemaras. And if you chazer it, derach agav, you chazer in the Gemaras, yeah, there's Gemaras that you probably never got at. You know, I mean, even daf yomi, you know, you probably skip through these things, you know. So I'm saying is that, but I take my achraya is that certainly Yisuf Talmud Torah is the best type of Talmud Torah. I'm negeba davar. I can't tell you the best Talmud Torah, but certainly I think that if you go through this and you chaz the Gemaras, we learn pshat. We don't hear pshat in certain members of the Gemara. I think certainly in the Nefesh HaChaim says even Bagadata is Torah Lishma. It's interesting. Nefesh HaChaim says like that. But the fact is certainly I think that Lamaisa, we haven't learned that the Mishnah too much. I think that it's a Kabbalah thing to shul. Your questions are very good. I actually need probably a whole shield just to answer your questions. But in any case, until then, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim, until the next shiur, kol tov.